With the outbreak of war in August 1914, all the suffrage societies decided to abandon their campaigns. At least this was how it appeared on the surface. But in fact, although the WSPU certainly did so, and their prisoners who were still in prison were released under a general amnesty, and Mrs. Pankhurst and Christabel worked closely with government, particularly with Lloyd George, to, in a very patriotic way, to get women involved in the war effort. In 1915, they organised a procession very much under the same idea as the suffrage processions, which had been so spectacular in the years before the war. Anyway, this right to serve procession was held with Lloyd George's backing and led by Mrs. Pankhurst to get women to sign up to take up work in factories, and particularly in the munition factories. And the NUWSS also abandoned the campaign on the surface, but they, being so much more politically minded, they, and particularly Mrs. Fawcett, did keep in touch with politicians and had their ear to the ground at the way things were changing. So that in 1916-17, the government realised that something would have to be done about the electoral register, because many of the men who were out at the front would have actually lost their right to the vote because they'd been away from home, they were no longer had property qualifications that were necessary, and a new register would have to be compiled. And this, at this point, Mrs. Fawcett in particular said that she was determined that now women must be included. And at this stage, the WSPU really didn't seem particularly interested in this opportunity. They were so caught up in working for the war effort. And Mrs. Pankhurst said she would rather that sailors had the vote than that women did at this time, which seems quite extraordinary. And then the government set up a conference to decide what would be, who were to be included on the new electoral register. And it was eventually decided that, yes, some women might be included. I mean, this really was the great leap forward. And Mrs. Pankhurst and the others she was working with decided that even though it was just to be some women, that was better than nothing. And the one thing that then was left to decide was a matter of age. Women had to meet the general property qualification, and then there were one or two slightly extra ones that were put their way, nothing very onerous, but just slightly annoying, just to differentiate them from the men. But the main difference was age, whereas all men would get the vote at 21. The conference couldn't decide the age at which they would give it to women. It was suggested that it be at 35, but in the end they settled for the age of 30. So the Representation of the People Act that was passed in February 1918 gave the vote to all women over the age of 30 who met this small property qualification. Men didn't have any property qualifications at all, so this was again another anomaly. And it was another 10 years before all women got the vote at the age of 21, and the same as men without a property qualification. And during that time, the NUWSS, which was now changed its name to the National Union of Societies for Equal Citizenship, had carried on campaigning and were then instrumental in getting the law changed then. The WSPU had more or less collapsed during the war. The various factions from it stayed together, but they didn't have enough power. And Christabel and Mrs. Pankhurst set up a new organisation called the Women's Party. And when women could stand at the first election at the end of 1918, Christabel stood as the Women's Party candidate at Smethwick, but she was defeated, even though she had the backing of the government. And after that, she took no further part in politics at all. Whereas Mrs. Fawcett, she resigned as president of the NUWSS after the war. I mean, having led it really right through from the middle of the 19th century in many ways. And formally, she'd led it from 1897 when the NUWSS came into being. And she was made a Dame of the British Empire and carried on as a grand old woman, I think, and she lived to see all women getting the vote in 1928 and died the following year. Mrs. Pankhurst just lived long enough to see women getting the vote and died a few days later. And that time she was actually standing as a Conservative candidate in Whitechapel. And her daughter, other daughter, Sylvia, had during the war set up her own organisation, or she'd set it up just before the First World War, but then it carried on during the war, called the East London Federation of Suffragettes, which was set up in Bow in the East End of London. And during the war, she changed it into an organisation that was looking after women and children, particularly running creches, and she had a toy factory to give an occupation to women who were out of work. And yes, because it was interesting, because Germany was the place where all toys came from, and with the war on, that source of toys was stopped. So many of the suffrage campaigners, the more artistic ones, are set up as toy makers. And Sylvia, after the war, she became a communist for a short time. So she was poles apart in politics from her mother and sister. And she carried on campaigning in various other things. She was a born campaigner. And once the women's campaign was won, she moved on to other things. But as for the effect of the First World War on the suffrage campaign, I think it wasn't the reason why women got the vote, but it did mean that politicians were able to say that so many women had done such stalwart work during the war, not only in the munitions factories, but also as nurses and doctors out on the front, and then women working on the land and taking on jobs like bus drivers and milk delivery women that had previously been done by men, that it wasn't just because of this work that they'd been done that they were given the vote, but it also gave politicians a chance to change their mind, as it were, behind this veil of women's work and say, oh, look, women have done so well, we'll give them the vote now. But I think without all the campaigning that had gone on over the right from 1866, this would never wouldn't necessarily have happened, because it was that campaigning that changed the way that the world, or at least the British world, viewed women. And they probably wouldn't have worked in the same way during the war if all the changes, the educational, legal and social changes, hadn't been made by the earlier campaigners.